today, my friend, you're fine, Brother Randy. Today, my friend, Brother Matt Smith, is going to come preach to you. I have watched Brother Smith grow up, literally, in the ministry. Well, kind of grow up, period, but he didn't make it all the way, but he is a pastor, pastors Sandy Valley Baptist Temple, and I said this last night, Brother Smith and his dear wife and family, they're overcomers. They have faced attack, they've gotten through it, they've proven faithful. You know, anybody can go when it's good, enduring when it's not good. That's the mark of greatness.
Yes, sir.
Until December, for the last 7 years, they lived in the basement of the church. Never a complaint. Never complained. Their kids never complained. Matter of fact, one of them, when they moved to the house, was afraid they were changing churches because they didn't live at the church anymore. It's just all they knew. And I thank God for people like that. Sandy Valley's not the metropolis of D.C. It's kind of an outskirt of the Canton area, but it's out there. People from Canton don't go to Sandy Valley unless it's on purpose, usually just to bury somebody. I'm not kidding. It's just one of those little spots off the side of the road there. But they've proven faithful. He's pastoring. I'm very proud of them. Proud of his family. You know, preacher's kids get a bad rap. He's got a good family. They love each other. They love their mom and dad. They love the Lord. That says a lot about somebody. But more than that, Brother Smith has been my friend through many, many years, through many battles, his and mine. Not with each other. But we, at least once a week, we'll text back and forth. And honestly, I've never heard a discouraging word from him, no matter how bad it is. You know, that says something about somebody. He's my dear friend. I love him. He's a faithful man of God. And I'm glad he's my friend. And I want you to hear him today. So, Brother Smith, come on up.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. You can be take your Bibles while you're standing, since you're already up.
Yes.
Might as well stand and we'll read. I appreciate your preacher. I for many years never left my pulpit. That's not true. I mean, I went other places in the building, although I did live there. I didn't leave on a Sunday. And so this is my second time, not Army-related, that I have been out of my pulpit. And he said, I feel like a caged lion not being able to preach today. And I said, I understand that. I do. And I understand what it means to let someone else be in your pulpit. And I appreciate you all being here for that. Thank you to the visitors for being here today. That's exciting. And in our church, we oftentimes say that visitors are a way that God shows us that he loves us. And that he'll trust somebody into our care. It's amazing. And I'm glad that we're able to be here today. Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 3, if you will. Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to read a few verses here. And they're powerful verses. They're important verses. I believe if you've not already picked out a verse of Scripture that you claim for what we call your life verse, that maybe one of these verses would be something that you would think about and say, when I want people to think of me, I want them to think of this verse of Scripture. It's powerful, it's important, and it's where we'll get our message from this morning. I want to invite you to come back tonight. Tonight, if the Lord allows, I want to bring blocks with me. You say blocks? Yes, oversized Legos.
Man.
And that's what I'm hoping for, if he'll let me, and I think he will. And I was wanting to borrow your preachers, but he said I can't touch them. So I've got to go to the store and buy my own.
Got to use Mrs. Barnes's.
That's right. But it's exciting. You have some. Wow, you're saving me money. Thank you. It's awesome. Come back tonight. I want you to come back at the 6 o'clock hour tonight. But Philippians chapter 3, if you'll look, we'll begin with verse number 13. And then if you'll follow along as I read through verses 13, 14, and 15, And listen as I read. The Bible says this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press for the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." I want us to talk this morning, and I want the Lord to speak through us and to us this morning as I give us a message this morning entitled, "Ending with a New Beginning."
Amen.
Ending with a new beginning. I hope it'll make sense. If it doesn't, it's my wife's fault. She writes all my messages for me. And Mrs. Bush leaned up and she said, "You can't preach the same message tonight." And I nudged my wife. I said, "You've got a busy afternoon." I'm glad that you're here this morning. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to be here. Father, I need you this morning. I cannot do what needs to be done. Lord, in this room, there are hearts that, Lord, you know the intimate details too. Holy Spirit of God, I beg of you, please. I pray that you would use me this morning as a conduit. Lord, let it be that as we look into your word, that you would look into our hearts. Lord, change what needs to be changed. Draw us closer to you. May we see you, may we hear you, but Lord, may we respond to you as everything would be done for your glory and your honor. I am asking this in the precious and powerful name of Jesus, my Savior. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Many of you would not know me, and that's probably a good thing. To be honest with you, we're excited. The Lord has allowed us to pastor now for 7 years. We finished 7 years there at the church. And I tell you what, I love being here because there's a spirit here that is very reminiscent of home. When we went to our church, it was 50 years of age, the church was. And there was about 24 people who showed up the Sunday before we went there. And over the last many years, the Lord has seen fit to trust us with many more people. I don't know how many are there today. They probably all called off. They found out I wasn't coming, so they are not coming either. Everything rises and falls on leadership, you know. I'm trusting that they were there. And I'll tell you this, we've seen the baptismal waters stirred. Amen. We've seen lives changed. We've seen families added. We've seen relationships mended. And I'm going to tell you this, that isn't me. And that's the Lord.
That's right.
And to be truthful with you, we have looked and just asked the Lord, "Lord, allow us to touch as many people's lives as possible."
Yes, sir.
If you'll trust us to do that. And so the Lord's added to our ministry, not just by people there at the church, but the Lord's also opened the door in recent days for us to join the army. Who does that at 39 years of age? But I did that at 39 years of age. And all I can say is it's a young man's game. I promise you, it is a young man's game. And recently, we got our orders put through to become captain. And so I get to be a captain in the United States Army. It's the honor of my life. I won't say pleasure. If you've ever been in the military, that's a lie. If anyone says it's a pleasure, it's never, unless you're the Air Force. But other than that, everything is okay. Hey, we'll pick on the Air Force guys, but man, we love staying in their digs. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what, it's nice. But we enjoy having the opportunity to take care of our soldiers as well. And so you, if you will pray for us, I covet those prayers because we need you to be partners with us in the ministry that God's called us to do. But I say all that to say the atmosphere of a church that's growing and that has an ability to touch lives, there's nothing quite like it. There are churches, I'm told that there are 6 to 7 churches that will close their doors today and never open again.
Wow.
Now that happens every week. And so to see a church that is not only going against the grain, but swimming upstream and have a group of folks that are excited about what God is doing, not just in the church, but you know the church is made up of you,
That's
of individuals.
Right. Right.
And so if we want something happening in the church, it's got to be happening in us.
Right.
And so we sit back, and the thing that makes it exciting is all the stories that we hear of how God is blessing and how God is changing us. And to be honest with you, we should all be changing.
Yeah.
There's not one of us that should get to a point where we say, "Well, I have arrived."
Right.
If you've arrived, you're in the wrong place.
<That's>
like
right.
The GPS hitting you in the middle of the field and say, you have arrived. Yeah, I have. Not if I wanted these kind of directions, I'd ask my wife. This is crazy, terrible, horrible.
Yes,
we are going out for lunch, right? Okay.
You and I are.
That's right. Fantastic. That's awesome. I love these verses of Scripture. To be honest with you, last year our church took these verses of Scripture and we memorized them. Every service, we began the services by quoting these verses because they were that important to us, that powerful. And this idea that we look at is, and I see it in verse number 13. Let me read it again. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Or if you will, I've not got it all figured out. That's what that means. I don't have a grasp on everything. He said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, that's interesting to me because you and I have got to come to a point where we learn there are some things you've got to leave in the past.
Yes, sir.
There are some things that you have come through, and it's time that you've come through them.
Right.
We waste too many todays looking back at yesterday.
Yes, sir.
We waste too many tomorrows complaining about yesterday.
Yes, sir.
And you and I have got some things, and I'm talking about some good things as well as some bad things.
Yes, sir.
I don't know, anybody here ever had something bad happen to you?
No.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm not the only one. Those of you that aren't raising your hands are either asleep or you're a liar, one of the two. And I just got started. But you come through some things. But can I tell you, sometimes we have to put the good things behind us too.
That's right.
I've heard so many people, we talked about war stories. Who was it? Sunday School Hour. You said, I don't want to be bragging about some war stories. Well, can I tell you, a lot of times when people go through those kind of stories, they're stuck there.
Yes, sir.
And that tells me something. The Lord hasn't done anything amazing recently.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
That's right. It's good.
I'm grateful for things, the blessings of yesterday, but I'm too needy.
Mm-hmm.
I need them today, too.
And
I can't rely on what happened yesterday.
Right.
I can't rely on the lives that God's changed in years gone by. I want him to do it again.
Yes.
And I need that right here, right now. So I'm going to tell us, forgetting and reaching is something that as a Christian, we need to be doing.
Yes, sir.
We need to forget some things. We need to reach forward. And it's what we're learning. And when we get that understanding in us, as a matter of fact, the Bible tells us to lay aside the weights and the sins which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And the truth is, I would submit to you that it may be some of those good things are the weights that are bogging you down and keeping you from achieving what you could do.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you this. I don't enjoy running. I don't like it.
Man.
It's not fun.
No, sir.
No. Anybody who says, I love running, they're an idiot. I could show you that from Scripture, but I'd have to write it down first. I don't like running, but I have to run. We were sitting at the restaurant, and my wife said, honey, there's cheesecake up there. And I said, no. She said, oh, come on, just run it off. Just run it off. We weren't here to talk about love or anything. That would have been awkward. But the truth is, I don't like running. And I'll tell you what I don't like even more. I don't like running in combat boots. And I don't like running with a rucksack on. I don't like running in a full kit. I don't like that. And if I had to run, and when we did run, we had to accomplish a 2-mile run. I'm going to tell you one thing. If it wasn't really close to being attached to my body, it was gone. All right? I'm not wearing Kevlar. I'm not wearing plates. I'm not wearing a rucksack. You want me to run? I'm not liking this, but I'm laying aside everything that I can get off and still be decent.
Yes, sir.
Good neighbor. I'm glad it was at 4:30 in the morning when we ran, because the Lord wasn't even up to watch this. I don't want to run a race with all that on me. And as Christians, we so many times will hold on to those things, the good things,
yes, sir,
and say, well, you know what? It's been good. I'm glad that it's been good, but it's important. We still have a race to run.
Yes, sir.
We still have a course to go, and we're not done yet. And so we've got to forget and reach. And when that gets in us, I mean, it's more than just something we've heard. Somehow that truth has gone in our ears, but it's lodged itself in our heart, and it's changed us. By the way, that's how you know it's stuck, is when it changes you.
Yes, sir.
When something that you've heard now starts to resonate in your heart and in your mind, and then it starts working its way into your heart, and then it changes what you do, what you say, where you go, oh my goodness, then it's happening.
Yes, sir.
It's you're growing. And when this truth, forgetting and reaching, goes deep inside of us, it means that the gates have just begun to open what God can do. Now, when we look at life like that, though, forgetting and reaching, it's almost as if life begins in segments.
Yes, sir.
They start, and then they finish. And then they start, and then they finish. And a series of segments, a chronology of events, a book of chapters that you are writing with every breath you breathe.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Our life. Our life. Some chapters are a little longer. Some stories take more time to develop. We talk about our love story between my wife and I. That was a real short chapter. You love me. That was end. I didn't wait for an answer. Just, you love me. I'm telling you now. No, that's what she said to me. And I said, yes, ma'am. And that, done. I'll be honest with you. When I proposed to her, she said no. Yeah. Yeah, I drove her from upstate New York to my brother-in-law's house in their land. We took her. I was going to take her on a horseback ride, get her a nice picnic lunch, and then find this beautiful field. And as sun was going to set, and the horse was demonically possessed. And I wasn't going to put her on that. And I was late, and the sun was going down. I said, the field's down here. Where's the alfalfa field? It's down here. So we're trucking down the way and show up at the field. It's a bean field. And I'm looking for a sunset, and I've got like one patch of sun that I can almost watch it moving away. Like, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. We get down there. I get down on my knee. I say, will you marry me? And she says, no. And I said, that is the wrong answer. We're not leaving until we fix this. Let's try this again. Will you marry me? And she said, okay. Well, let's not get too excited or anything. As if our whole life's about to change. Put the dumb ring on. Let's go. But indeed, it was wonderful. Wonderful. But that was our love story. That took a little while to develop. And there's so many of those aspects, but I'm going to tell you, in our life, some of our chapters, some of our segments, they take longer, and then some of them are short and concise. Some, if your life is like mine, some chapters seem to repeat themselves. The same outcome. As predictable as somebody walking down the sidewalk with their cell phone.
Yes, sir.
Now that's predictable. You know what's going to happen when someone is glued to their cell phone walking down the sidewalk. If it was not predictable, YouTube would not be stocked with millions of videos of people walking down the street on their cell phones. There's a pole, there's a hole, there's a dead body, something. Someone's going to fall over into a pond. You know it's going to happen, but you still watch it. Why? Because when it happens to you, you're going to hope and pray nobody's there with a video camera. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. But it's that predictable. Some of your life stories. And yet, to be honest, sometimes it takes us having someone else who looks from the outside to show us what we're doing. That our chapter is missing something. Or sometimes to help us understand it's time that we turn the page. And I want you to know, probably your greatest advocate in doing that is your preacher.
Amen.
He has a different perspective on your life. He has a perspective that's not always in the nitty-gritties. Oh, he'll be there to walk through those nitty-gritties with you, but he can give you a bird's eye view, a spiritual look, that'll look and say, you know what, here's what I think we ought to do here. And I'm going to tell you, he's not going to turn you wrong. If he does, he'll shoot you. And that's fine. He'll get it all put back together. And he's already got some of your eulogies already picked out. And one more time. But to be quite honest, sometimes it takes somebody to help us break that course of repetitive behavior. But regardless of what the last chapter held, I want you to know this morning, you're still living and breathing.
That's right.
That means that there is a great opportunity waiting for you, another new beginning.
That's,
you know, as I work with people, that's what so many people want, is just a new beginning.
That's right.
Yeah. New beginning. So many times in our family, we'll have something happen. And again, I'm going to pick on my son because he's mine and I can.
Yes, sir.
And there's nothing he can do with me. I'm not old enough yet for him to be altering my medication. So it's okay. So far, so good. He will have done something, and his little brother, 2 days later, will do the same thing, and they'll say, "Oh, come on, knock it off." And I'm thinking, who's the schizophrenic? Where's my boy? He just did that. And he say, "I don't do that anymore." And I say, "Since when?" And he'll say, "New leaf. New leaf. I've turned over a new leaf." I'll be honest with you, I love new leaves. And if it wasn't for God accepting my new leaf over and over again, he would have given up on me a long time ago. But the truth is, we all need to adapt and overcome. We need to understand this forgetting and reaching. You ever had a chapter in your life where you wished you could replay it over and over and over again? I mean, it's been a good chapter. I mean, maybe it was the birth of a child. And by the way, those of you who are young and having children, I am all for the old days where Dad went to the waiting room to hear word about what you got. It's kind of like birthday parties at a distance. Just tell me what I got. I'll wait out here. This whole thing being in the room with your wife, what? Who started that? And then you want to come down? No. No, I'm up here at the head. And then the lazy, if you're in the medical field, don't take this personally, or two, whichever. I don't care. You up there and say, "Do you want to cut the cord?" No, you sick monkey. No. No, I'm paying you. No, I don't want to do that. I don't even want to be here. And right now, my wife doesn't even want to be here.
She didn't want you to.
That's the dumbest question I've heard in 16 minutes. That's ridiculous. But the truth is, out of all of that, there's that tender moment that happens right after birth. The happy moment. You get that baby, and there's oftentimes a beautiful look exchange between husband and wife. I'll never forget our last child when he was born. They had taken him away, and they were getting him all cleaned up and everything. My wife and I were there and sharing loving looks with one another, and she looked at me and she said, "Honey, will you do something for me?" I said, "I'll do anything for you. What can I do for you?" She said, "Could you put my leg back in the bed?" And I looked down, and her leg had fallen out of the bed, and she had had one of those spinal things. She couldn't feel a thing. Like, "Well, absolutely, my dove. Here you go." I mean, you have moments you want to replay over and over and over again. Don't worry, I'm planning to get her back one of these days. "Hey, honey, help me get my leg back in the bed." It's going to happen. Yeah. "Give my teeth back." It's going to be amazing. But maybe you've had the birth of a child, happy memories, maybe some great accomplishments, but you would wish in some way you could just go back and replay those and replay those and replay those and replay those. I get that. I do. You ever had a situation that a chapter you just wish you could close the book on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, those situations that have resulted in baggage in your life. I'll be honest, one of the things I do, both as chaplain and as pastor, is try to help people sort through their baggage.
That's right.
Get rid of it. You know, there's some lessons that we had a hard time learning, but thanks be to God, once you learn them, you can go on.
Yes, sir.
And to be honest, if you are in the middle of learning a hard lesson, can I give you some good advice? Learn from it.
Yes.
Learn from it. So we don't have to do this again. I've gotten to the point in my life when the Lord allows something, and just so you know, I don't believe in this God is in heaven looking for a reason to strike you with lightning philosophy. I don't think that's true.
Right.
The God who loved you and came to earth and clothed himself in humanity and became sin who knew no sin, that God is not going to sit up there and just wait for you to mess up so he can thump you in the head. If I was God, that's what I would do. But you're glad I'm not God.
Yes, sir.
To be honest with you, I believe God is looking and waiting and watching to help us.
Yes, sir.
And to get us through those things. Let's just learn the lesson. I've gotten to the point where I go to God when the slightest thing comes into my life, and I say, "Lord, are you wanting to teach me something here? Because if you are, I'm listening."
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have to go through hard times unless you want me to go through them. And so if there's something I'm missing here, something I need to learn, I'm listening. I'm paying attention. Lessons hard to learn, failures that you're not proud of. Can I tell you, to be transparent and honest with you, there are some things in life I'm not proud of. And to be quite candid with you, anyone who doesn't embrace that, you think way too highly of yourself.
That's right.
Good man. Preach it, sir. Preach
it. Yeah. If you think that somehow you're better than anyone else in this room, you've got a hard lesson ahead.
That's right.
Preach it. Preach it. Come on.
Yep. You are not more valuable than anyone else. I'll tell you this. You're not more valuable than anyone in this building today.
That's right.
You think that somehow you've been to church, or maybe you've never touched a drop of alcohol, or maybe you've never smoked a cigarette, maybe you've never felt what it feels like to have drugs course through your vein, that somehow makes you better than someone else? Oh, that pride will lift you way up, and then you will fall flat on your face, and then you will see that you're made of the same stuff as every other person here today.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And when that happens, then you get humbled. And what that means is you have some chapters in your life that you look back and you say, I wish I could close the book on that. Yeah. Well, if that's you and you're not proud of some things, no worries. Because you're in good company. You're not alone. Not at all. Not alone. I'll be honest, our church, again, I love them to pieces. Like to beat them to pieces at times, but I love them to pieces. But I can't tell you that you would find or be awe-inspired or be impressed by the people that are there, because we're all a bunch of sinners.
Yes, sir.
Bunch of sinners.
Yes, sir.
The difference is we don't want to be like that anymore.
Amen. That's right.
So we need each other to hold each other up in prayer. And in persistence and in passion, and help each other along the way. I think that's what Galatians 6:2 says.
Yes,
bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I think that's what Jesus did when he was here.
Yes,
when he walked by someone who couldn't walk, he would tell them what? Rise, take up thy bed and walk. I have no doubt he gave out a hand too. I have no doubt. When someone came that could not see, what did he say? Well, you know, it's too bad for you, and walk on. No. He did what he did. He touched their eyes. He helped them. Why? Because he was acquainted with our sorrows and our griefs, the Bible teaches us. So you're not alone. The best news of all is you can end with a new beginning. You can end with a new beginning. You say, how? How can that be? You might say, well, that isn't easy. Well, I didn't say it was easy. You know, some things are not easy, but they're simple. Do you know how to move a mountain? Simple. One shovel at a time. Right? Does that mean it's easy? No. You know how to eat an elephant? Feed it to a teenager. They'll eat anything. No, they say you eat an elephant one bite at a time. It's simple, but not always easy. I want you to know that situations in closing the chapter and moving on, turning the page, forgetting and reaching, or starting with a new or ending with a new beginning, it may not be easy, but I want to give you just a couple of things this morning and hope that you'll remember them. Number one, realize you can control when the chapter ends.
Yes, sir.
You can control it. The Bible tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And that what that means is it gives us scriptural understanding that all you do is you think it into your heart, you meditate on it, and you can end the bad cycle.
That's right.
You have to want it. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters who have said, my loved one is in trouble and I want them to stop. Can you talk to them? Oh yeah, I'd be glad to talk to them. But it's not going to do a lick of good. You say, oh, you're giving up on them? No, I'm not giving up on them. But the fact is, they're not the one on the phone with me right now. They're not the one in front of me right now. They don't want to change yet. But I want them to change. I understand that. And I'm with you. But they've got to want it.
That's right.
You want to overcome an addiction? You got to get tired of being addicted.
Yes, sir.
That's all there is. By the way, addiction is in the form of a bottle. And addiction is in the form of drugs. And the addiction is in the form of pornography. And the addictions are those things. But I want you to know, there's a lot of things that we are addicted to, but because our addiction isn't out there like everybody else's, somehow we think we're better. We talked about that a minute ago.
That's good.
Yeah, we have a lot of addictions. And the truth is, the recipe's the same. You will not get over that or through that or turn the page on that or end with a new beginning until you choose to end that chapter.
That's good.
Number two, realize that when you close the chapter, you must begin another one.
That's right.
Think about that. When you close one chapter, you have to begin a new one. Your life's not over. By the way, we lose 22 soldiers a day to suicide. National average. We work diligently to try to keep that from happening. And by the way, that's just one piece of society. I want you to know suicide is a terrible epidemic that is people believing the lie of the devil.
That's right.
That's what that is. That is 100% a victory in Satan's book. Mm-hmm. Because now he doesn't have to deal with them anymore. Saved and unsaved. I know them both. Who have taken their life. And can I tell you what's happened? They've decided I'm going to end this chapter but not start a new one. And that's hard.
That's right.
That's hard. It's selfish. It's not good. It's somebody teaching and telling you a lie that you ought not believe.
That's right.
Now, there's more. If you still have breath in you, then there is another chapter waiting to be written with those breaths. Yes. By the way, if you are a widow or a widower, or the day comes when you become a widow or a widower, can I tell you, your life is not over yet.
That's right.
The chapter of your life, and it may be a very long chapter, 58 years, 116 years. Miss Sue said it's 116. Brother Mel said it's only 58, woman, you can't count. Every year with you seems like two. No. Other way around, was that? I forgot, that's all right. This is why he brought me here today. But the truth is, that's a long chapter of life. You know what? My wife and I, we're reaching that point in our life where more of our life will be spent together than what we've spent separated from each other. Mm-hmm. We're reaching that number of years of marriage that we were when we got married. I married her when she was six, so that's fine. But not nearly as old as I am. But the truth is, we're actually 19 days apart. Yeah, 19 days apart. So I'm very young, I know, thank you. But we're reaching that time, and the truth is, when a spouse's life ends, your life is not over.
That's right.
It may feel like it's over. It may seem like life as you know it is over, and it is, but understand, you still have breath.
That's right.
There's a new chapter that needs to be written. By the way, when we get older, the older we get, the less we like change. Yeah. Right? The less flexible we are. Truthfully. like you can't flex anymore. You're like, what are you doing? I'm trying to get my coffee. I don't know what's going on right now. I used to be able to do this. it's amazing. But the older we get, the less we like change. And that change, understand now, is a part of life. So when you end one chapter, you must begin another one. Number three, I don't even know what's left here. Understand what has made good chapters in your life. Mm-hmm. Understand the elements that have gone into the good chapters of your life. By the way, those elements are very simple. You need to be saved. The best chapter of my life was the chapter when I got saved.
Yes, sir.
And then I made decisions to obey Christ. Well, we had a wonderful Sunday school lesson this morning about following the Lord in believer's baptism, obeying God. And can I tell you right now, you want to start a good chapter, then get right with God.
Amen.
That's what salvation's all about, is getting your heart right with God. And then obey God.
Amen.
And then testify of how good God has been.
Yes,
that's
sir.
What soul winning's all about. I'm not trying to promote my doctrine to anybody else. I'm going to go to somebody who needs something, and the God of heaven who loves them and created them is going to align my path with theirs to tell them how much God loved them and sacrificed himself for their wrongdoing. Oh my goodness, I'm just here to tell you how good God is.
Amen.
It's fantastic.
Yes,
I don't have to be nervous. What if they ask me a question I don't know? Well, that's simple. I'm not here to talk to you about what I don't know. I'm here to talk to you about what I do know.
Yes, sir.
And I know how good my God is. I can tell you He changed my life. Yes. I can tell you He saved my life. I can tell you He's working in my life today. It was so much, I just had to tell somebody.
Yes, sir.
And the Lord brought me to you. Now, there's got to be a reason for that. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's happening in your life. And you'll be surprised when you start winning people like that. Now they don't think you're a Jehovah's Witness anymore. Now they don't think you're Mormon anymore. They know you're crazy, but that's okay. They're going to figure that out eventually.
Man,
I just got to tell you how good God is.
Yes.
Understand what's made good chapters in your life, but also understand what's contributed to the bad chapters in your living.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want you to hear that. I said, understand what's made good chapters in your life, but next, understand what has contributed to the bad chapters in your living. We don't have time to go into this, but let me be very honest with you. If you have a bad situation in your life, that's your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Good preacher.
Nobody else's fault. We have such a society today, and it started all the way back in the Garden of Eden. Adam, it was the woman thou gavest me, Lord. Right? Just a chapter ago, God brought her to him and he said, whoa, man, that is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She came out of man. Woo, thank you, Lord. The next chapter is like, now that woman you gave me. Just saying. Everything was fine until her. Eve, you know, that serpent. And what they say, I looked at the serpent and he didn't have a leg to stand on. Sorry, it's terrible. But we've been pushing blame ever since.
Mm-hmm.
I did that, but they meant... It's your responsibility.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You got a bad situation, that's your fault.
That's right.
You say, well, no, it's not. Okay, there's an issue right there. We have so many times push it on everyone else's fault. Well, someone was unkind to me when I was a child. It emotionally scarred me. Well, boo, who's thinking who? Get over it.
Amen.
I need a hug. There's a tree. Go hug it.
Not the bush, the tree.
I'm all for it. You know, you need some tender love and care. I'll tell you what my grandpa told me. Come here, boy. There you go. Ah, I don't need any more of that. The truth is, we got to get through some things. Understand what's contributed to the bad chapters in your living. By the way, bad chapters come from bad sentences.
Mm-hmm.
Bad sentences come from bad words. Bad words come from bad thoughts. There's nobody there but you. Right?
It's good.
Bad chapter of life comes from bad sentences. Bad sentences of life is what you're doing. They come from bad words. That's what you're saying. Those come from your thoughts. You want to tell me again how it's somebody else's fault?
It's good.
The truth is, you got to understand what's contributed to the bad chapters in your life and then not do those things.
Mm-hmm.
Almost done. Number 6 or number 5, whatever it is. Believe that God's word is true.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So, everything that brings victory comes from God.
Amen.
Enslavement. Bondage, that comes from the devil. And I'll tell you this, I am all for the lives that AA has helped, but I want you to understand, AA was built on biblical principles. What? And the truth is, without God's word, you've got nothing to stand on. And that's why when we try to help people overcome things, if we're not bringing them to God's word, it's not going to last.
That's right.
At best, it's going to be temporary. And they're going to try. And that's why I am not for a bunch of these self-help books. You tell you what, you've got a self-help book right here.
Yeah.
You just don't like what it says and what it's telling you to do. And I get it. I don't like it either. That's why I'm a preacher. I just tell everybody else what to do, and I don't have to worry about it. That's not how it works, just so you know. Believe that God's word is true. And we read in our text this morning, you can put behind and you can reach forth.
That's right.
Number last. Believe that the Spirit of God is with you.
Yes, sir.
So you get the instruction of what to do, but you don't have the power to do that by yourself.
Right. That's right.
promise you. You don't have it. You can try to do better, and that's what all these self-help books are trying to teach you to do. How to live a better life, how to be the best you. You know what? You don't want to know the best me. Because the best me ain't that great.
Man.
There is no good thing in me, the Bible tells me. And I have to agree with it.
Yes.
Because the truth is, if there's anything good in me, it's the Lord in me.
Yes, sir.
And if I'm going to get the instruction of what to do, believing God's word is true, then I've also got to believe that the Spirit of God is with me. He tells us in the book of John, chapter 15, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. What a blessed promise.
Yes, sir.
He didn't just tell us what to do. He's coming alongside to pick us back up. I remember the day I got saved. Oh, what a happy day that was. It was a young day of my life, but I'll tell you this. I remember the days that he's stooped down and picked me back up again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Getting back out of the trouble I got myself into. You say, you know what? You seem like an interesting creature. Please do tell. I heard you say that a minute ago when he was talking about the hardships. He goes, oh, tell the story. Tell more details. I get that, right? You say, well, I want to know. You don't need to worry about my story. You need to worry about your story.
Amen.
And by the way, we start comparing stories. Well, I'm not as bad as that story. Or I'm better than that story. Or I'm not as good as that story. It goes both ways. I want you to know your story is special. It's unique. And it's what God wants to work in. If you're here today and you've not started with the Holy Spirit of God being with you and in you, it's a pretty bleak outlook.
Mm-hmm.
You can't change. You can't overcome. You can't find a true happiness. You can't find true joy. And I'll prove it to you, there's a lost world out there that's trying everything to get what I'm talking about right now. They want peace. They want to be able to pillow their head and be happy. And they go to all those different things, relationships, the bottle, the drugs, the pornography, everything they try. And they come up empty every time.
Yes, they do.
But I remember the day when I went down deep, but his hand reached even deeper.
Yes,
sir. Scooped me up and said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, in other words, you don't have a time in history where you can say, that's the moment right there when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I've talked to people and they've said, oh yeah, I've done that a bunch of times. No, you're missing something.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do it over and over again. You can't. The God of heaven's knocking on the door of your heart and saying, I want to come in and I will be with you forever. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Good.
When did you open that door? Well, I think it, you know, I'm not sure. Can I help you? Make today that day.
Yes, sir.
I would much rather get to heaven and say, Lord, I wasn't sure about that, but I know from this day forward, I put my faith and my trust in you. Well, make that today. If you have that day, then how about this? How about you let the Holy Spirit have his way, sort through all those things in your heart and in your life right now, that he says, it's time we close the chapter on that.
Mm-hmm.
A good thing, but it's been weighing you down. It's been holding you back.
Good.
Been talking about all the glory days, and I've got some glory today that I want to use you to do.
Yes, sir.
Maybe it's we need to put aside some of those things we're not proud of. And say, oh, if I could just call New Leaf, I'd love to. You can. You can. Would you close your eyes? Would you bow your heads this morning? Ending with a new beginning. I've got to ask you, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have your eternal destiny settled? That you know for sure that if you died right now, that you would see Jesus face to face? If you don't know that, I would hope this. I would hope it would trouble you. If you're here today and you say, you know what? I don't know what would happen if I died right now. I'm nervous about it. I'll be honest with you. I'm afraid I do know what would happen, and I don't want that. I'm not saved. I've never had a moment when I've claimed Jesus Christ as my only hope of heaven. But preacher, I'm concerned about that, and I would like you to pray for me. Would you pray for me? If that's you today, no one's looking, no one's watching, every head's bowed, every eye's closed. But if you'd raise your hand, I'll not come to you, I'll not embarrass you. But I promise you, I will pray that you would have the strength and the faith to get that settled today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure that I'm saved. Would you pray for me? You just slip your hand right up. I'll pray for you. I'll not point you out. I'll not embarrass you. So I'm just not sure about heaven. Anyone at all. Well, then I want to ask you this. How many of you today say, you know what? The Lord spoke to my heart. And there is a chapter in my life that I need to turn the page on. I need to end with a new beginning. Your church is at a transitional place where just a few weeks you'll be ending this chapter and you'll be beginning a new one. Oh, how exciting that is. You could have that same excitement today in your own personal life. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You say, preacher, this message was for me today. The Lord spoke to my heart, and I needed that. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me? Oh, yes. Hands raised everywhere. You can put them down. Do you know what that chapter is? You raised your hand and said that message was for me, but I've got to ask, do you know what that chapter is? The Holy Spirit of God has spoken to your heart about that. Then I want to tell you what's about to happen. An invitation. And in an invitation like this, if you could find an altar, turn your chair into an altar, you could do business with God. And the invitation is this, where you go to God and say, God, I just want you to know you spoke and I heard your voice. And Lord, this is me doing something about what you've told me to do. It's a very personal time. To be honest, it doesn't matter what anybody else around you is doing. Or not doing, if the Lord has spoken to your heart in this invitation, I would ask that you would show God, not me, not the preacher, but you'd show God what you've heard from Him. I'll pray and we'll open the invitation. Father, we need you today. I thank you so much that you have given us an opportunity to end with a new beginning. And I ask now that in this invitation, that your Holy Spirit would have His way. Now, Father, you would help us do what we ought to do in these moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Would you stand to your feet?